Good evening, and welcome to the November 23rd Recreation and Parks Commission meeting. I'd like to call the meeting to order. We'll start with roll call. Munoz?
Present.
Crawley? Noted as absent. Sedaris?
Present.
Ayub?
Present.
Bates?
Here.
This evening, do we have any commissioner reports or announcements?
I'd like to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving, and I understand that different people are from the community. I believe it's being put on by different people here in Morro Bay, different associations. Is that correct, Mr. Woods?
Be the POA, Police Officers Association, as well as the Morro Bay Rotary Club.
Right.
Or Rotary of Morro Bay, I believe it is.
So, happy Thanksgiving. Be safe.
Any other announcements?
Nope.
I have one other, which is just wanted to share that we had a very, very successful fundraising event for the Morro Bay Community Foundation, which provides scholarships to youth in our local community to help them with or help families in need financially to allow those kids to play sports, attend the kids camp programs and kids club program. And so it's very well linked into the Park and Recreations Department, so which is why I bring it up. And earlier in the month, we held a Morro Bay Sings the Beatles. This was a fundraising event, and this was the second annual. Last year, it was Morro Bay Sings Joni Mitchell. And we had a terrific turnout. It was a great event. It was the last fundraiser of the year for the Morro Bay Community Foundation. And I just want to encourage folks next year to keep an eye out for publicity and so on. So it was a terrific event. Just want to make everybody aware they don't miss it next year in November. Any other updates?
I have one announcement, if I may, please. Thank you. Excuse me. The annual holiday tree lighting will be happening at City Park. That is December the 5th, which is Sunday, which is the day after the Light a Boat Parade. So take in the boat parade on Saturday, but on Sunday, make sure you mark on your calendars to come out to City Park for the annual holiday tree lighting program. All the festivities begin at 4:30, and we will have performances from Pacific Dance Performance. I believe part of the choir from the Morro Bay High School will be out singing. And we have other holiday songs that we sing, and there'll be special visits, I think, from guests from the North Pole. So mark on your calendars, all you families of Morro Bay and Cayucas and Los Osos, and come over to Morro Bay City Park Sunday, December the 5th, Sunday the 5th at 4:30. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, up next is a public comment period, and noticing that we do not have any minutes, citizens' reports and correspondence, youth services and sports and fitness and facility summaries for October, and then A4 is Recreation and Park Department status report. So I'd just like to open up to see if there's any items you guys would like to pull for discussion from A1 through A4.
Nope.
Okay.
I'd like to make a motion to accept A1, A2, A3, and A4 for file.
I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. Moving on to B, public hearings. Tonight we do not have any public hearings, so that brings us to C, which is unfinished business. And we do have an item tonight, C1, which is a review of the Teen Center Master Plan Project. So I'll turn it over to Mr. Woods to review this with us.
Thank you, Chair Helen. Good evening, Commission. C1 is labeled unfinished business, but only because we've been working on the Teen Center Master Plan for quite some time. Just recently, you'll know, in January 2010, the Morro Bay City Council approved Resolution 0110, authorizing the application to be filed for Proposition 84 funds, which is a state one, and we definitely fit an eligible program, which is the Teen Center Master Plan. We have taken on a lot to get this project going, and we have not been able to meet the deadline we had earlier this year of March to file the first round. And I understand that several programs that were funded were skate parks. So we're hoping they haven't saturated the fund with skate parks, and the round two will be competitive and we'll be able to get some funding. Excuse me. Staff has contracted with Rincon Consultants to complete the California Environmental Quality Act, the CEQA requirements, and we have also contracted with DeLeo and Moran Consultants to prepare the Proposition 84 grant application. The grant application is lengthy, and bringing in an outside source, we feel, is our best chance to be successful here. I won't get into the details of this grant because we've covered those in previous meetings. But just to let you know that it's $5 million is the limit for project grant, our public input, as well as serving underserved populations. And so in our application, we're hoping to illustrate both of those needs. To maintain the maximum number of points under the application, we need 5 project-related community meetings. They should be held prior to submitting the application. The community meetings must be conducted after November 2006, to qualify. Now, we've done some projects, some outreach previously when we generated the first round and the first conceptual plans. And if the guy on the camera could help me out, AGP, with a scan to the Morro Bay Skate Park, the skate park, and also the teen center master plans, what it is. And this is the concept that has went through public workshops. These elements came out, and they are the skate park itself, which is an in-ground skate park. We bring in the modular skate park to complement the in-ground. We have an amphitheater, a basketball court. The existing teen center would stay, and then also part of the plan is the classroom. Now, hopefully these elements will continue in order to get there to the point where we are now so we can get into the funding. So the previous meetings that we had were in 03, 04, and 05. They were great workshops. They brought in, the teens were involved. They brought in clay. They did little claymations of what kind of elements they wanted in their skate park. Very intricate meetings. And unfortunately, those meetings won't help us qualify for the grant, but certainly give us a great baseline of what the community is looking for and what they need. So as we go through the next series of workshops, we'll be starting with this baseline, and then hopefully we'll be bringing in members of the community. Hopefully they'll be engaged and be exciting and enthusiastic about the project. And then we'll go through some of the steps that we've gone through, looking at what the elements are there and how do we want to keep the same elements, do we change them around. And hopefully Jan DeLeo, she'll be facilitating these meetings, and she'll be able to draw the community and get some quality ideas and some direction, and maybe this project doesn't change, maybe it does. I'm thinking it will, or getting ready to lose some square footage of meeting space over at the library might be an opportunity for us to increase the size of the classroom here at this site. And also the possibility of moving some of the elements around. I think you'll see some open discussions about that. And one of the ideas was to bring the classroom to the front of the facility, the site, to allow access to only the classroom at any given time, and other parts of the site would be closed down. So hopefully we'll have some dynamic conversations about that as well. So the public workshops, public meetings, they're all one element of this application. Another element would be the median household income. That's basically the proximity around the site. The state has what they call a California State Parks Community Fact Finder, and you zero in on your particular site, and it gives you a radius, and it already has data that's already in the system that tells you what the median household income is for that area. This area has been run through the fact finder, and per that fact finder, income at this particular project's proximity, and hopefully the workshops will show that the community is very much behind this project and wants to continue. And how we continue is we hold our workshops, and then what happens is the CEQA is a mitigated negative declaration that is covering all kinds of noise, traffic, all different factors and impacts that this project brings to the site and the surrounding sites. MND is in its final stages right now, and we're extremely close to putting it out to the public. So we're just going to be honing in on what the procedure is and how we release that to the public, and what review it goes through, and how that process goes. And that's what Jan DeLeo and I will be meeting with the Planning Commission, planning Department, to get down to what their expectations are and what their protocol will be as far as how we extend our CEQA requirements. After this, the CEQA requirements are reviewed, then it's going to come back to the RPC. It's going to come back to you for input. I wouldn't be expecting all of you to attend, but we might want to think about, as we get into discussion, if there was going to be a representative to follow this project or two. You'll recommend that the Teen Center Master Plan and the draft MND will be taken to City Council, and then at a notice public hearing for final decision. The City Council would approve the design and the mitigated negative declaration. So they would do, we're hoping they can do, they would do both. So we say we'll bring that, the CEQA process in with the planning process, and then hopefully we can get those both approved at once at City Council. And then we would move into writing and putting in for this application. And hopefully we'll be getting funded. And if we get funded, we're successful, and the project is going to be somewhere between $1.5 and $2 million project. And it was at 1.5 back in, I think, 06 or 05, that it was an estimated cost. But I would imagine it's gone up a bit, but it may have gone down a little bit. So it's going to be a range that we're going to try to target into before the application goes out. So I just wanted to let you know that you need to keep in mind that underneath the grant funding. Right now we are in parking and lieu funds, if you were curious about how we're spending this money. You've already approved these to get this project going. So after we've done that, we've gone to the Planning Commission to get our permits, then we go into the building phase. So our next few steps are going to be staff meeting with our two consultants, Rincon Consulting and also Jan DeLeo, and we'll be determining what our community meetings are going to look like and when they're going to be held. Most likely it's going to be the beginning of 2011, January and February, maybe March, hopefully not March. Hopefully we're having the application ready for March. Our deadline for submittal has not been determined by the state. The best we can do is that they will be no sooner than March 2011. So we'd like to get the workshops scheduled and executed and getting some input and getting through this process, because it can be rather lengthy based on everyone's schedule and when certain groups meet. So with that, I would conclude my report and ask for any questions, follow-ups from commission. Thank you.
So it's up to... Well, I'm glad to see that it's finally moving forward, and of course, we encourage staff to start the meetings in January and hopefully conclude, like you say, hopefully by February, and meet our deadline by March to submit the application for the grant. I think it's great. I think the kids are going to love it.
Any questions? Is there what's the turnaround time for the state to make a decision once we've submitted a proposal?
It generally takes a couple of months, 2 or 3 months before you hear back. I didn't go back through and have a look at what the timeline was. I did look at some of the projects, and there was a handful of them that were skateboard parks. So I thought that was rather encouraging. I'm hoping that they're not burned out and they still want to fund them. And I think we have more to offer than just a skateboard park here.
Look how phenomenal the Los Osos skateboard park has been. I mean, it's so well utilized. I think I drove by on Sunday or Saturday, and it was, you know, the parking lot's packed. Kids are having a great time. Adults are, I mean, it really does a job. Even if we have a skate park here, there's, you know, no sense that it's going to get underutilized because there's one in the neighboring town. I mean, it's great.
Called Digital Infusion. It is an ARRA funded program, and we have received our second senior employment person's coming in next week. So there are 20 hours of work week through the Pathpoint Senior Employment Program, and they pay for the wages and the workman's comp. I'm kind of sidebarred there. At the teen center, we are setting up a program to assist seniors with computers. And so it's a computer one-on-one class that if you were, I don't know if it's 50 or 55, I always get a little bit confused about the setting, but if you're a qualified senior, you can take this class for free. And the instructor is paid through Pathpoint, and we're going to provide the facility. So we're starting in with a little bit of intergenerational use at the teen center. The hours will be 8 to noon, Monday through Friday, which is clear from teens pretty much year-round. We don't do Monday morning late starts anymore, and our summer program starts at 1 o'clock there, at 3 o'clock during the school year. So we have senior activities that are going to be going on there. We feel it's a better when it comes to computers. And Pathpoint has been very excited. They have 5 other programs that are going on now throughout the county, very successful. So I'd imagine within a week or two, we'll have this program up and running. So I'm hoping that as we develop the site into more than just a skate park teen center, even though that's the title of it and it is Rockies, that is the primary purpose, that we could supplement our usage in here and have some intergenerational use, some other community use, particularly in the classroom. And this will be in the teen center, our senior program, our computer program, but the classroom will certainly be open up to other community groups, not just the teens. And I think that's refreshing news, I hope, to the community, that they understand that this isn't all geared towards teens. It is geared towards the community, and the teens will have a benefit, and the community will too. And I think it's a win-win, win-win-win all the way across the board. I apologize for getting a little off topic, but I wanted to share with, because it was a pretty exciting news that we just got the MOU and the agreement in today. The legal's reviewing it, and hopefully we'll get something squared away first part of next week.
Good stuff.
So I was certainly answering any other questions that you might have regarding this project.
On the where it says
any other costs related to this project. So probably an estimate is going to be closer to $2 million. I would say 1.5, 1.6, but I think at this stage in the game, in another month or 2 months in January, I probably have a pretty good answer, a pretty good number for you. But right now, I don't think it's going to exceed $2
million. Thank you.
Have we looked ahead at maintenance cost and staffing of a new facility, and where is that coming from?
We haven't gotten in the detail of a maintenance impact statement yet regarding this facility. We are maintaining it at some level now. There is some expectation of program staff and maintaining operational levels at this particular site, light janitorial, you know, vacuuming, things like this. But maintenance crew does come in a little more heavily twice a week and does some sanitation work. We do have repair maintenance guys who are rotated in and out of there as work orders become generated. But we do have a significant more impact, I would believe, when we have an in-ground skate park and also and an amphitheater. And I think that some getting, we would be looking at some revenues to offset any other increases to staffing levels. That would help. And then we've got some program ideas to generate more revenues than just what you see as far as an entrance fee or something like that. So we've got some ideas, some programs that staff's come up with. The amphitheater has multiple uses that we start bringing in some different venues, not just teen rock and roll or rap. We would have other, like, jazz music and maybe some community concerts and so forth. And so we would have an opportunity to generate some revenue, not just subsidize a large expense. And I think that's a big fear when you look at building new facilities, is that, hey, we're going to subsidize this to what tune, and is there any payback? And I do believe that there is payback at this site. It's going to be creative programming and just a diligent hand on your expenses and really push for the revenues. Hopefully that answers your question.
Thank you.
Certainly.
Any other questions for Joe?
No.
Okay. Can I get a motion to review and accept the file C1? Park Department Program Evaluations.
Good evening once again, Chair and Commission. This is, we brought you one program evaluation today. It is the program evaluation for the 2010 Morro Bay Junior Lifeguard Program. The Junior Lifeguard Program is a program we've been hosting for, I couldn't tell you how many years, but it's been going on a lot of years since I've been here, and it's over 20 years we've been successful with this program. Our program costs this year were $35,755. We have supporting costs. Two things we have there is the cost allocation for the beach, which is $18 for the 97 participants at $17,776. And the pool is a different cost allocation of only $12, and it was $576. So your total support costs were $2,322. Total expenses to include the support costs, $38,077. And you'll see a bulk of those expenses, and it sounds like, wow, that's a big number. It is a big number. Costs for staff at $27,000, and T-shirts and sweatshirts at $2,600. And uniforms at $41,000. Include registration fees and fees for the sweatshirts. We raised $25,272. We had scholarships that were given for the year. It was the Jesse King and Surfrider scholarships of $700. And we also hosted a junior lifeguard program, a barbecue, which raised $335. Revenues totaling $26,304. We did have a net loss of $11,700 and some change. Cost recovery at 69%. This program is a private sector, a private service, and a target revenue is at 80 to 100%. So we did not meet our revenue goals. We're not hiding behind that. We're certainly working on what we could do differently to support this program. We think it's a vital program for a beach community to have, a junior lifeguard program, given the fact that we don't have a swimming pool. So we are pretty much concentrating on what we can do differently in this next year to be more successful than we were this year. We do believe that the program itself as a participant was successful. I don't want to be misread there. But I think there's a cost of dollars and cents. We have growth within the junior lifeguard aides as well as the certified lifeguards. So there's multiple levels within the program, and I think that those program levels are expectations have been met. The number of participants we had dropped significantly, not in the pool program, which actually increased by 7, but in the beach program, which decreased by 33 participants. We went from 130 in 09 to 97 in 10. Realize we've got three-week programs. We did supplement this year with an in-between surf camp, which actually we call it beach camp. In case there's no surf, we just go on the beach. But that was a very successful program, and those became in the black. But the junior lifeguard program struggled a bit, and it was because of participation. And I want to flip over to some of the recommendations we have to get this changed. We will continue to seek donations and in-kind donations. And I have the laundry list of supporters is incredible. I would love to read that to you, but I know that you don't like me to read those to you. That's the UCLA requirements. This is huge. We're one of the few programs here on the coast that has all of our beach lifeguards certified as beach lifeguards, and not just a pool-rated lifeguard, but actually an open-water lifeguard. And we feel that's a significant advantage and a benefit to all those participants and families that are involved in the program. We want to continue to work with the Harbor Department to deliver the Lifeguard Academy. You realize before we used to go to Pismo Beach and participate in their academy, and when that was no longer an option, we developed our own with the county and with the Harbor Department. We are pretty much mandated to continue our own academy in order to get USLA certified lifeguards, and so we want to continue that. We want to continue working with the public safety. We had great involvement with the police, the fire department, state parks, slow ambulance, Burgess Fishing. All of them helped us and participated at one level or another, whether it's a lesson plan or a small session at their site. We want to continue to work with other junior lifeguard programs to compete. And I think the most significant one is to review the program goals, prices, through communication with the county. We can straighten it out the county has the lifeguard, junior lifeguard program up in Cayucas. They were upwards to 100 people, 100 participants in their second session. We were somewhere between 30 and 40, and they were upwards to 100. So it's meeting the needs of the Estero Bay, but I think that we could probably distribute those participants a little bit more equally. The cost of their program is a bit lower. And it has been, because it's been subsidized by the Lions or the Lioness Club up in Cayucas. So with that big subsidy, and the city does subsidize this program, don't get me wrong, but not to the tune where we can drop the price. We still have to maintain our price at a certain level in order to get our cost recovery back up to 80%. So it's going to be a little bit of a mixture of what we do. And the county also removed their limits of number of participants they were going to bring in. We're very limited. We keep ours limited, because we like to keep a real tight ratio, which ensures quality of program and also safety of the participant. And I think that's very important. And I would go out on a limb and say, I would rather subsidize this program for $11,000 to have an incident at the beach regarding a participant. And I think that's continued with junior lifeguard program. So we'll be working with the county a little tighter next year to see what they're going to do with their limits and what type of personnel they're putting out there, and what the ratios were with their staff and participants. And then there's some housekeeping as our last little want to do is to improve our manual for the participants and the staff. And I would throw in, what are we doing differently to reach for more success? We'll be advertising over the hill. We're going to be looking for some North County advertisement. There was some talk among staff, it would be nice to get a bus or some kind of a transportation for North County, Tascadero to Morro Bay, kind of a route, a van maybe, that can pick up some kids that are there that want to come over to the coast and participate in a junior lifeguard program. So we'll see how that evolves. It might be one of the surf stores over there that might have transportation. We're still working on it in the off season, but I think that's something that we can reach out beyond the Estero Bay and get into the North County, Tascadero, Templeton, and Paso Robles, and hopefully bring in some participants that need the program. So that concludes my report on the 2010 Junior Lifeguard Program. I would certainly open up for any discussion at this time.
Needed to.
Is there a lot of staff? We try to provide the most adequate staff for the number of participants we have. Now, when we drop enrollment in the second session, we also drop staff. So we didn't fulfill the hours. Actually, our coordinator, Herb White, took some additional time off and tried to get, you know, the next up-and-coming coordinators, or not coordinators, up-and-coming staff members to help out. and grow a little bit. So we save some money on not putting the coordinator out there the entire second session. So we're trying to be conscious about how much staff we use. But then again, you do have a ratio of participants to staff to ensure quality and safety. So we keep that in mind. But it's something that I would certainly want to look at very in detail in the next cycle. We're doing the same thing with the Kids Club program. Staff to participant ratio is important to all those who are in program for quality and safety. Those on the other end, the financial end, look at it and say, hey, can we tighten this up? So we'll be looking for a happy medium to preserve our safety and the quality of the program, and yet hopefully satisfy. We will start off qualifying our staff to the level, historical levels. So this last 2 years, we'll look at how many people, how many participants we have. We average about, we generally average around 70 participants per session, somewhere between 130 and 140 for the year. So we're going to gear up for about 100, and we're going to gear up for 70 for that session. And if we don't have them, then a couple will fall back. We can't start off short because you'll never get the ratios back. These are qualified, you know, United States Lifeguard Association qualified staff members, and so they're not easy to come by, and they have to go through the academy that we have. So it's a fine line. How many people want to participate and rise to the challenge of going through the academy? We hire you with the hopes that you're going to pass this academy testing. If you don't, then you don't stay on. If you do pass, then you're in. And hopefully at the end of that process, we have enough that we can go forward into a somewhat full program. And then we supplement with aides. There are certified beach lifeguards running the program. And I think that's very important to say, and we'll be advertising that as well, because it's very important to know, because when you drop your child off at child care, it's you want them to be safe. When you drop them off at a junior lifeguard program in the open water, it is 10 times that much worrisome for a parent, and they want to make sure, particularly for the first time out, they want to make sure that you've got staff there, they know what they're doing, they're trained, and it is important. And so their safety is one thing, and then educating that participant to the level where they're comfortable. So it's really a perpetual cycle that we try to get into, and it is a fine line of how many staff you have. So it's a lengthy answer, I'm sorry, but I would say that we just want to be careful on pulling too many people out.
No, that's true. So, I mean, that's very true. So, okay, very good. Thanks.
On this, what is the age group that we're talking about?
For lifeguards, for staff, or for participants?
For the staff and the participants. How old are the participants, and how old are the...
They're like 9 and 10 staff members, and our coordinators is a little more mature than that. Actually, he's a retired state park ranger, Herb White is, and we're hopes that Herb will be on for the 2011 season.
Have we seen a trend with this recovery going down over the last, say, 5 years, or what? I wasn't here last year. What where did we come in last year? Do you have those numbers?
Now, the last year numbers were a little bit stronger. We're looking at, like I said, 130 in 2009 for both sessions. You know, so you're talking about what, 65-ish, either way, and that's basically where we've been at. And all the years that I've kind of, I'm just going through my mind all the numbers that have been there, and that's pretty much it. We would be low at 50, we would be high at right around 80. But somewhere between the upper 60s and 70s is the number of participants that we've traditionally had in either session one or session two. So it's dropped a bit, but I wouldn't say it's a trend, because I think it's just a matter of a shift. When you have 100 people in session two at Cayucas, where they traditionally would not have that number, they would cap it. And then those extra, those who didn't, we got back, and it was this program was over, but the session three was still going on, and Cayucas, so he was involved there. But the idea that there's the Estero Bay is the population we're going for. And so if there's uncapped at a lower price, certain families are going to be attuned to going to Cayucas and enrolling into that program. So hopefully on the off season we'll correct some of that, and we'll talk with the county and kind of get our programs a little bit more in sync, and to make sure that everyone's on the same page as far as, you know, staff to participant ratios. I think it's real big, and price of the program and the number of participants we're willing to take. So there's some discussion to be had.
Well, it's a great program. It's, you know, providing tomorrow's lifeguards. I think it's pretty important to stick with it and keep everybody safe while participating.
Staff totally agrees with you, Commissioner Bates. I think that is, it is certainly, it's tomorrow's lifeguard, and it perpetuates itself in this community. And we've seen that with our other programs where the participant becomes the leader who has his first job, and then is back into the community, and next thing you know, they're further out, they're donating their time and money back to the community. It's a full circle, and we're hoping that we see more of that. So thanks for recognizing that. We appreciate it.
Motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Next item E, declaration of future agenda items. Does anyone have any topics you'd like to bring forth for a future agenda? When's our next master plan for the Rock area? When's the next update on master planning, Coleman?
I'm glad you asked that, because I have an inquiry from RRM, and they're kind of going, hey, ready to go on that master planning process? You see what it's taken us at the teen center for the master plan, and we already have one, conceptual approval. So right now I don't feel that we can take on more in the ways of projects. We still have, which needs to be off my desk soon, which is the tennis courts at Del Mar, which is a big project that needs to be completed. And I think everyone in the community is waiting and has waited long enough. To add more onto that right now, I think we need a break. I think we would probably, if I don't get direction from council to do any sooner, I wouldn't be looking at master planning, Coleman Embarcadero, because that's going to be a pretty lengthy project. We want to actually do a little bit more dynamic outreach to the community. There'll be other stakeholders that'll be involved, government agencies that will have a say in this. So I think there's like 12 to 15 different government agencies that are down and around the bay, so probably more than that. So it's going to be quite a lengthy review process. So we really want to gear up and get our resources ready for it. So my best guess would be another 9 to 12 months.
Okay. So
I would love to do it sooner. I really would, but I just think that the reality is really sinking in with staff and how much we can actually accomplish is the best we can. So we're moving forward and hopefully keeping the plate spinning.
Okay.
A quick question. I've been asked time and time again, when are they going to start on the tennis courts? I said, I really don't know. You'd have to ask Mr. Wood. So I was asked to ask you again, and let's see what kind of an answer you give.
Well, my standard response is I would hope sooner than later. Right now, staff has been quite taken back with daily operations. To pull our resources, to direct them and prioritize them the best we can. I had mentioned earlier there's another senior employment person coming in December the 2nd, which will certainly relieve more of the daily operations for management staff to get into the master planning, the bigger projects that we have that are on the table. So sooner than later is the best answer I can give you. We've had target dates before. They've come and gone. So there's probably been enough talk about when they're going to go. We just need to get after it and put it out to bid and get them built. So we certainly have the initiative to do that. We just need to allocate some time and reprioritize, and that's what we're working on.
Thank you.
Any other agenda item topics? Okay.
Nope.
Can I entertain a motion to adjourn?
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Yes. Meeting adjourned.